Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Wonderful music. Get us into a worship momentum here to study the Word of God. Let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians 2. Doc, how you doing? Good. 1 Corinthians 2. And as we have noted, this is probably one of the top three or four passages on dealing with the Holy Spirit. The first is the teaching of Jesus Christ from the upper room in John chapter 13 through John chapter 16. Some of the most profound teaching on the third member of the Godhead and the born-again believer in all the Bible. And right close to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and that's what we're in the midst of studying, so let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God by testing yourself to see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit to open up the Word of God, and we'll see why in our study. Let's pray. Now, Father, we are so thankful for the mystery that is hidden in this book. But Heavenly Father, it's a hidden treasure. And if it was not for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, we would be no better off than if we didn't have it at all. So while we're thankful for this book, we are equally thankful for you sending the Holy Spirit that we might see and understand the things written herein. Father, we pray now the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 2 at 1 Corinthians, and we are kind of not moving into it. We are in the midst of studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, it kind of really starts in verse 9, but that isn't the beginning of the sentence. The sentence begins in verse 6. So let's just pick it up from verse 6, noting the sentence. Yet we do speak, we do not remain silent. We do speak wisdom among those who are mature. So right now we know two conditions to understanding the mystery. You must be a born-again believer, and you must be mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, this time frame, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden, which God predestined before the ages, and here's to me the remarkable phrase, to our glory. Not to His glory, not even to the glory of His Son in this passage, but to our glory, which none of the rulers of this age has understood. Indeed, they cannot understand it. For had they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, which of course had to occur. But just as it is written, now he's been saying from verse 6, speaking. Verse 6, yet we do speak. Verse 7, we speak. Now, verse 9, we speak what is written. Just as it has been written, stands written, things which eye has not seen, that's empiricism, ear is not heard, that's the second way man learns, by being taught, and which have not entered the heart of man, that's rationalism, entered into the mind of man. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now we come to the third condition. First of all, a believer. Second of all, mature. Third of all, love Him. Verse 10. For to us, and we ended last week noting, this refers to Paul and the writers of Scripture. By way of a principle, it applies to all of us. But in the context, we got to stay with the context, it refers to Paul and the apostles. To us, God revealed, okay, they're hidden. We already studied that, they're hidden. Now we find out God reveals them by means of the Spirit, through the Spirit. Now, why the Spirit? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. That's why the Holy Spirit can reveal these mysteries. Now, verse 11, let's just pick it up where we are. But for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirits of the man? Okay, what's going on here? People, only you know what's going on inside of you. No one else knows what's going on inside you. A husband doesn't really know what's going on in the mind of his wife, and he should give thanks for that. The wife doesn't know what's going on in the mind of the husband. We simply do not know. We do not know. Even so, in like manner, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. And I love verse 12. Now we have received, and then the negative phrase, not the spirit of the world, we have received the Spirit who is from God. Okay, this is where we're going. Let's pick it back up at verse 10. God's wisdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have seen that the gospel, salvation, is two things at once. It is exclusive, but it is all-inclusive. That is, anyone who believes. It's open to everyone who believes in the gospel, and therefore, it's all-inclusive. But it is exclusive salvation to those who will believe in Jesus Christ. Well, in like manner, people, knowledge of all that God has prepared for those who love Him is exclusive, but all-inclusive. Every member of the human race can know these wonderful benefits, but only those indwelt by the Holy Spirit have the potential of this knowledge. And only those empowered by the Holy Spirit, in fact, know them. You've got to make the distinction between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. People, this is so important. A lot of times people say, well, once a person believes in Christ or is a Christian, their life will change. That's not necessarily so. It depends on the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't depend on just being a Christian. That doesn't change our daily life. What changes our daily life in truth, now some people in the flesh try to make this change, but before God, there's a difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. And we have to be sure we understand that. So when somebody says, well, if they were really a Christian, they wouldn't do this. No, if they were filled with the Spirit, they wouldn't do it. That's the truth. But Christians doesn't mean that you will or will not do anything. Being filled with the Spirit, now we'll know your fruit. There is no fruit of being a Christian. There is fruit in being a Christian led and filled and empowered and living by the power of God the Holy Spirit. We just have to appreciate the all importance of the Holy Spirit. So you have to ask yourself, are you this privileged group to know these wonders? If you're a believer, in part, yes. If you're a believer walking and studying the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. This is why an unbeliever, a carnal believer, cannot understand spiritual phenomenon. Cannot do it. It's reserved, exclusive, to those who walk in the power of the Spirit. It's all-inclusive. Everyone has that opportunity. But only those who walk in the power of the Spirit. So verse 10, for to us, now we've studied this last week, God, the author of the plan, revealed them through or by means of dia, the preposition dia, by means of, plus the instrumental, of the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Again, God revealed these things to the writers of Scripture, and God the Holy Spirit reveals them to the human spirit of believers throughout the church age. Okay, through or by means of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say by His Spirit, which is what the King James and the NIV, I don't know where they got it. There is no personal pronoun here. I don't know why they did that. I have no problem with it, but it's not in the manuscripts. It simply refers to the third member of the Godhead. You are indwelt by the third member of the Godhead. You cannot lose the indwelling of the third member of the Godhead. I don't care how sinful you get. I don't care how far away from God you get. I don't care if you never darken the door of a church again. You are indwelt by the Spirit, and you cannot lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last phrase explains why the Holy Spirit is capable of revealing the deep things of God. Now, in verse 11, we'll find out why we are not capable. And we've already seen it. We are born in the flesh. We're talking about spiritual. So we know we're not capable. Why is the Holy Spirit, it may sound like a babbling question, but just to follow through the thinking, why is the Holy Spirit capable of revealing to us the deep things of God? Okay, the last phrase. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So He can reveal to us things that God has prepared. Now, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, can you do that? Can you search the deep things of God? No. Arrogance thinks that man can figure it all out. Man is so limited. That's why I don't know if it's my age, if it's my growth in the Word of God, what it is, but I don't get upset anymore nearly as much. I just smile at the arrogance of man. We can figure it all out. We can figure evolution. We can figure this. We can figure that. And it just, we're so limited in what we can actually figure out. In the flesh, we're extremely limited. But I'll tell you something, even in the filling of the Spirit, we'll not know all God. But we're extremely limited, but not the Holy Spirit. Okay, now here's the point. While we cannot do that, you can know the things that God has prepared for us. You can know the plan of God as it's revealed to us. You can know that. For, all right, we're dealing with the last phrase, for the Spirit searches, introduces why the Holy Spirit is the means of this illumination or revelation. Searches, present, active, indicative of eranao, to search, to investigate, to explore. I like the heritage of this word. You know where this word came from? I don't know how many of you have a dog, ever had a dog. But if you've ever just really watched, and I'm not talking about just walking along, but watching sniff. I mean, he gets into something, or she, the dog, whatever, but the dog gets and just, I mean, it's got to explore. And if you're trying to walk that sucker, and he's decided that he needs to explore this, that's the origination of this word. I mean, he's got to sniff all around, sniff up, sniff down, sniff over here, and walk around the tree or the fire hydrant, and sniff over there. He's just got to do a lot of sniffing. That's where this word came from. That's where the word came from. It means to investigate. Now, in the context, this does not mean to search so as to find out something. Does not mean to search so as to know. Any more than it means to search to know when it says that God searches the hearts of man. That doesn't mean God, oh, well, I wonder what he's thinking. Doesn't mean that at all. It is used here for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing the deep things of God in those he indwells and those he fills and guides and teaches. Just got to make ourselves available to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a shame that the charismatics have taken the Holy Spirit and abused him to where it's caused, you got this group over here just being weird with the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to be like them. Huh? Jesus wasn't like that. Paul wasn't like, I don't want to be like that. So I don't want to talk much about the Holy Spirit. Just kind of, yeah, he's there and all that, but you know, let's move on. People, we've allowed them to steal from us the wonders of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. are the verbs that are used in Galatians 5. Be led of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, live in the Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Beautiful concepts of our walking in the Holy Spirit. So this becomes so important here. Now, although every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, not every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit, and not every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. Not any believer is filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. In fact, many believers throughout history have spent very little time in the filling of the Holy Spirit. They spend more time being convicted by the Holy Spirit, trying to get their attention, but little in the filling of the Holy Spirit. I have a great book, and I do mean, I really enjoy reading this book. And in this book, it's about wine. And the author of the book, he said that the chapter is entitled Before Leaving. And he's got in this chapter, he says, it is my hope that before every human being leaves the earth, he gets to taste fine wine. And then he develops this concept. Well, people, I hope that before leaving the earth, every born-again believer experiences 10 consecutive moments in the leading of the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you'll just go, wow. Just like if you have some really fine wine, you go, wow, I don't want Ripple anymore. I need to have this $400 bottle stuff. See? And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Before you leave, you walk in the power of the Spirit, and you walk long enough. See, you can't do it in a minute. There's no time for Him to put in that peace, that joy, that love, all the self-control, all those wonderful things that happen when you're in the Spirit. And that's why a lot of Christians, it doesn't work. You haven't stayed in it long enough. But boy, you start walking in the Spirit, and you start staying in the filling of the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, you start experiencing that peace. And I mean, your life is hell. Things are going so wrong in your life, and there's peace. And that's when you know, this is supernatural. I know me. Boy, if this were to last a year or something, I'd have blown up. I'd have collapsed. I'd have ate a whole chocolate cake. I'd have drank a whole bottle. I'd have done this. I'd have gone and spent $5,000 at the store. Whatever it would have been, see. But now there's just a peace. There's just a peace. That's supernatural. So when things are going well, I'm going to word it this strongly. I don't know that it's necessarily true, but we don't really know if that's of the Holy Spirit. I mean, things are going well. Why wouldn't I feel good? Everything's fine. But boy, when your world is chaotic and things are falling apart, your health, your finances, relationships, all these things are falling apart, and there's a peace inside you. That's when you know this is of God. This is powerful. And a lot of Christians don't experience that. That's why most Christians spend their time in stress, anxiety, depression, sad. But we have the privilege of not doing that. Okay, we have the present active indicative of He searches. And we don't have the aorist. And I think it's interesting. We have the present active indicative. This will happen in life. This is what the Holy Spirit constantly is doing as far as we are concerned. In reference to the pastor teacher who does his job, his dependency on the Holy Spirit, absolutely necessary. Now, let's take a pastor gifted by God with a high IQ, gifted by God in languages. So he learns the Greek and learns the Hebrew and sits down and studies and studies and studies. And boy, he thinks he's gone a long way. I prefer, and I use this with appreciation, not demeaning, black pastor, backwoods of Georgia, who knows, I can't understand this. Lord, help me. I'm going to trust you to help me understand this. His eyes are open to the truth. See? Whereas you can either depend on the Holy Spirit or you can depend on your ability with the languages. I'm very thankful that I have been trained in Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic, Ugaritic, all that stuff. But when I sit down at my desk, people, I don't depend on that. I depend on the power of the Holy Spirit and spend time in prayer. regarding the Holy Spirit's leading. There are some wonderful things to be learned in the language, but that's not where the secret is. The secret is in the leading and teaching of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The verb means to explore, which sets up the necessity of categorizing scripture, theology, all these kinds of concepts. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, searches all things. Okay, let's look at all things. First of all, note, all is the Greek panta, all. It's in the neuter, and it doesn't mean all things. Things is not in the original manuscript. All. It simply is all-inclusive. All-inclusive. All. Including all, everything that's in the Word of God. And what is not in the Word of God, but as far as we're concerned, those truths that are in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit searches and reveals all in the Word of God. Now to Paul and Peter and James, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the writers of Scripture, Jude, see, this was opened up to them supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has already informed us of this ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's already informed before we even came to 1 Corinthians by Paul. Look at John 16. Gospel of John 16. Gospel of John 16, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Well, let's start at verse 12 because that sets it up. So let's get to the setup. I, Jesus Christ, have many more things to say to you, to the 11 disciples. But you cannot bear now. You can't bear what I'm getting ready to teach you, what I desire to teach you. But, this time but's a wonderful contrast. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, as I have not. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will make it known to you. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. Okay, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But even, verse 10, but even the deep things. All right, let's look at the word even. I like this. The word even is the Greek conjunction kai. K-A-I. And I'm glad that it's translated even here, because most of the time it's translated and. And there'll be times when I will say, it should be translated even. Well, here you see that that's a legitimate translation. That we're in a right frame when we translate it even often in the Word of God. So this is what we do. It's translated even. Even, see, He searches all, even the depths of God. He searches all, it's in the Scripture, even the depths of God. Now, the word for deep depths or deep things is bathos, B-A-T-H-O-S, depth, unknown. A passage I like this word is used in a negative sense is, look at Revelation chapter 2 a moment. Revelation chapter 2. You ever hear people in their arrogance? I get deep. I'm deep. I'm a deep thinker. School's just no challenge to me. I need something that's deep. I can only have friends who are deep. And it's just nonsense. But we're impressed with ourselves. We're impressed with ourselves that we think deeply. Let's look at the Revelation 2:24. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan as they call them. I love that. As they call them. I place no other burden on you. As they call them. People, there's nothing deep about Satan. His ways are known. His tactics are known. He is brilliant in his schemes. He's brilliant in his lies. But people, the Bible is so clear on his tactics in regard to the total plan of God, in regard to Jesus Christ, in regard to the gospel, in regard to born-again believers. We know his tactics. People are amazed that so many Christian marriages end in divorce. I'm amazed that so many Christian marriages make it. That's what I'm amazed at. Not the divorce, because Satan, his objective is to destroy all Christian marriages. He thinks he's won. So, but the point is, his schemes are not unknown. They are very well known. They're camouflaged. They're hidden. All these types of things. But, so this phrase, the deep things of Satan, as they call them. See? And, but, as the scripture says, being wise, they became fools. I was very interested in our president telling Romney, if you're the elected for the Republican Party, we've got to be honest and say what we really think. And I just laughed. If there was ever a liar wanting to tell somebody else that they had to be truthful. And but see, this is the whole thing. You've got to, this game that people play. God isn't playing a game with his people. He has deep things in his word, but he's made it available to every one of us. All right, but here bathos in our passage is used of the infinite, all-knowing God. Let's take a look at the depths of God. Let's just take a quick look at the depths of God. One, first of all, you want to know it's a genitive of possession. Depths belonging to God, not to any creature. Not angelic, human, no creature. No created being. These are the possessions of the Godhead. Two, depths imply something that is unexpressed, has to be probed or brought to the surface. Three, this is what we call theology proper. Theology proper. And then proper with a capital P, this is the theology about God. That God has depths of understanding that we will never be able to probe. But there are depths that God allows us to probe, allows us to know. But there's no way we would ever know all. He's infinite, we're finite. But he does allow us to know some of those things. So what I'm showing you here is we're building theology proper. What do we want to know about God? Well, we know that he is a sovereign. We know that he is righteous. We know that he is just. We know that he's love. We know that he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotence. All these wonderful things. We know his faithfulness. This is how these things are built. So here we learn that God has great depths in his understanding. John 17, the Lord's Prayer that we're studying. It's a study on theology proper. It's a study about God. It's a study on Christology. It's a study about Jesus Christ. It's a study on the born-again believer in the church, the body of Christ. It's a tremendous study of all the aspects, many aspects dealing with theology. All right, point four. This is so important to every believer. This depth belongs to God. This is so important. Every believer, the depths belongs to God. God is deep, beyond reach of the thinking of mortal man. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. Every believer is dwelt by the Holy Spirit. See how this progresses? God is deep. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit that we receive at the point of faith in Jesus Christ is capable of us comprehending the deep things of God. Think about this. It's kind of, not right now, but sometimes you just want to meditate on the privilege that you and I have to know the deep things of God. Quit trying to figure out the deep things of a woman. Let's deal with deep things of God. We have supernatural help. We have supernatural guidance. We have supernatural teaching. So let's just deal with what we can get into. And He graciously gave to us everything necessary for the understanding of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 with me a moment. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's read starting at verse 14. Let's start reading at verse 14. For this reason, I, Paul, bow my knees before the Father. Now, there's nothing sacred about praying on your knees. The thing about knee prayers is, at least in my own experience, I've had knee prayers. I mean, that's where I shut the door. Okay, God, this is serious stuff. I'm not driving down the freeway. I'm not getting ready to take a test. I'm not even getting ready to teach. You and I got to talk. This is very heavy. This is what the ideal of the knee prayer is. From whom, before the Father, all prayers addressed to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That. Okay. I pray that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. This is not the indwelling of the Spirit. This is the filling of the Spirit of our inner man. Now why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, by means of faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. What happens? One of the things that happens when you walk by faith in the Spirit, Christ feels at home in your soul. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, now here's the kicker, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, it's all inclusive, but exclusive, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of what? What is it talking about? It's talking about God. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up in the fullness of God. You see, people, we need the Holy Spirit. And once you start walking in the Spirit and study the Word of God in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, things just start happening in your soul. You start an understanding of God. You start an understanding of your relationship with God. Hey, my life's got to be devoted to Him. Not just part of my life, but all of my life. And it's the slow growth thing. This is just one of many evils of Lordship salvation. You don't start off making Him Lord. It happens as you walk in the power of the Spirit. And slowly you just reach that point. Now, some people, it takes a dramatic thing. God really has to knock them down with a bolt. Other people, it's just a slow evolving into it. But you reach that point. Hey, I have a short time on earth. It's about God. It's about Christ. It's about making Him known. This is what it's about. And we need the Holy Spirit. We are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to reach this point in life. All right, Roman numeral 3, or point 3. The deep things of God entails the essence of God, His decisions, His plan, His essence, that He sent His Son. So these deep things of God are made available to every born-again believer, but in a manner, compatible with grace and given to us by God Himself. Now, I'm going to have you turn to a passage that we've turned to many times, and we're going to turn to it again in this study, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But let's just start it off with your familiarity, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And this is where we are going to have to rely on the original manuscripts and not the translations. Does he, God the Father, then, who graciously supplies you with the Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now you have and. This is where it should be even. The manuscripts translate, the translations, the Bibles translate this and. It should be even. Talking about the Spirit now. Even working power. Working power. Not miracles. Dunamis is power. In you. So the passage reads, does he then, who graciously supplies you with the Spirit, even working power in you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Okay, now major point four. We have seen that two systems of perception by mankind cannot comprehend the deep things of God. Actually, three. Not empiricism, not rationalism, and not by being taught. Cannot transcend and develop and grasp the deep things of God. But God has provided for every born-again believer a system of grace whereby we can comprehend the things that He has prepared for us. Things that are prepared for our glory. They're not earned, they're not deserved, they're not dependent on man, and they're just like how we're saved, and why should it be any different? Faith. By faith we're saved, and by faith we are opened up to the wonders of God, the hidden things of God. And it's all by grace, people. God's plan is consistent because we're consistent. We're consistently no good. We're consistently weak. We're consistently handicapped. God knows that. So for salvation, it's by faith. Spirituality, by faith. Developing and understanding and grasping and being able to bear the deep things of God. By faith. Five. God has provided, along with our salvation, many things. Lewis Berry Chafer has an excellent list of 34. But one of the things we are provided with is a human spirit, which Adam and Eve had in the garden. So we're provided with a human spirit, capable of grasping the deep things of God. We are provided the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we're provided the Word of God. All of this depends on nothing from us but faith. Putting yourself under the teaching of someone who God has gifted to study and teach the Word of God, to study the Bible on your own, to read the Bible, and He opens these truths up to you. And finally, point six. The deep things of God are poured into the human spirit by the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. The deep things of God poured into the human spirit inside of you by the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who is also inside of you. Now with that in mind, let's look at Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read 33 through 36. Romans chapter 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Just let that sink in. God. I can't even understand a nuclear physicist. A lot of times I can't even understand my own doctor about things he's trying to tell me. Think about God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who has first given to him, that it might be paid back to him again. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. It's the richness of God, people. And the one who has known the mind of the Lord is not us. It's the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul will end with in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, now we come in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to verse 11. Limitations of mankind. Don't want to spend much time here, but let's note it. Limitations of mankind. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. This verse goes and confirms verse 10. Now let's read verse 10 one more time and read it carefully. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. We're told to depend on the Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit the one? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, coming off of our passage in Romans we just read, look at verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2. For who has known the mind of the Lord? The Holy Spirit, that he should instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. That's what we have. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. So now let's go back and verse 10. Now verse 11. Verse 11. Even a human being has within him secrets that are his own. Each one of us, each one of you have secrets of your own, which no other human being can penetrate. Only your own human spirit can. How much more is this true of God? Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. In our 1 o'clock class on Sunday, I don't know if it's a Herculean task that really is asking too much, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to just walk our way through every 39 books of the Old Testament in historical order, not in biblical order, historical order, explaining just in a very highlight what each of those books are about. If we can do that, I think we've gotten a lot out of the 1 o'clock study, where you can just sit down and just take yourself through the 39 books, where they are in history, what they're briefly about, and then go on to the next one. Well, let's take a look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, and we want to read verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else. That's your heart. That's my heart. It's deceitful and is desperately sick. Could be translated incurably sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand a heart that is deceitful and incurably sick? Who would want to? But who can? I, the Lord, search the heart. Now here's where we have the searching. It's not for information that he doesn't know. It means to reveal. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. It's not just our doing. It's the power in which we do it and the result. Are things that you do, do they have a spiritual result or just a flesh result? Okay, let's go back now to verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 4. This particle is used to introduce the contrast between the grace perception given by God of verse 10 and a meritorious perception in verse 11. To introduce the limitations of Homo sapien, man is limited in his fallen state by union with Adam in understanding people. It's difficult for us to understand ourselves. Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Where did that thought come from? I hate that thought. We can't even understand ourselves, people. Most of all mankind tries to understand things about God, and where do we try to understand it? From the tree, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Well, that's a great start. I'm going to understand God from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. It's not going to happen. Why man is in need of God's grace, provision for man to know the deep things of God? Just take a look at mankind. Who among men knows? Now, here we have the Greek verb to know, and I'm putting this on the board for a reason. We have two different words here that are important. To know means is oida. That's O-I-D-A, oida. Now, this is important. That's why I put it on the board. Put it on the board, it's important. Okay. Oida means to know something intuitively, instinctively. Knowing by nature. How do birds know where they're flying in the north and south? How do they know that? How does salmon know where to go and fish? How do the seals know? How do the dolphins know? How do all these things happen? Just instinctively. Okay? Knowing by nature. But being a member of the human race, when we're talking about human beings, this is not knowledge passed on from one person to another. No one can know by instinct or intuitively all that is in another person. Just can't do it. Some people think they can, but they can't. Cannot do it. Only yourself knows what's going on inside you. You can know only your own thoughts and desires in truth. But so that you can see what is going on in this, jump down to the end of the verse. Thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Okay? This is a different word for knowing. This word for knowing is eido. E-I-D, long O. Now you can see whether you know what they mean. They're obviously different Greek words. From the transliteration. This means actual perception. Actual, the knowing. Just emphasizing the knowing. The Holy Spirit knows absolutely God. And He's going to make much about these things known to us. So verse 11 says, "For who among men knows instinctively, intuitively?" I want you to know what we know, I want you to comprehend what we know instinctively, intuitively. What is the result of what we think instinctively? What is the result of what we think intuitively? Okay, you want to know? Look at Jude chapter 1. This is free. This is just a freebie. What do we know? What is about what we know instinctively, intuitively? As members of the human race, we're pretty proud of it. Let's see what the Bible says. Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, but Jude 1. And let's read together verse 10, powerful verse. "But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct." Now this is our word. This is the word we have in our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:11. And look what it says. "Like reasoning animals, by these they are destroyed." Where's your flesh thinking going to come from? It's going to come to destruction. Now, this is both for the unbeliever, time, and eternity. Well, I just know instinctively there is no God. I just know instinctively man is a form of evolution. I just know instinctively these things. Don't you just know those things? Where does it lead to? Destruction. In time and eternity. I just know no man can come who is God, die on a cross, bear the judgment, sins of the world, remove condemnation. Oh, no. I just know that's not true. Look where your instinctive thinking. By these, they are destroyed, both time and eternity. Now, for the born-again believer, when he does this, it's just for time. You've lost up your life here on earth, but for eternity, you're safe. So, both time and eternity, the world can teach us so many things, people. The world can, for example, the world can teach us about money. We can know all about money. The world can teach us about sex, as if a lot of us need to be taught about sex. But why? What are we to do with the money? Where does the sex fit in? Where do these things fit into this whole thing? People, otherwise we're evolutionary animals. But we know we're not. I know when I die it's not over. See? So the world can teach us things, but it cannot teach us the things that God does. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For who among men knows instinctively, intuitively, the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, that is, the man himself, which is in him? Okay, for who among men knows the thoughts of men? All right, first I want you to know, thoughts is in italics. If you look, thoughts is not in your original manuscript. Not in the original. This refers to all that goes on in your mind, hidden to everyone else, save God himself. Always remember, while others don't know really what you're thinking, no matter what you're saying, they may not know what you're thinking, but God does. God knows. So, your thoughts, your impressions, aspirations, memories, motives, dreams, desires, fears, each of us, those things that are inside of us that make us what we are, anxieties, inner struggles, everything that goes on in the human spirit of a man, not the human spirit given to us by God, but just the spirit that the unbeliever has, the being of man, member of the human race. And while we're here, please know that your Heavenly Father already knows all these things. Don't press them down. Don't suppress them. This is the true concept, by the way, of 1 John 1:9 and confession. Don't suppress. Confess. Get it out. He already knows. What are you hiding from him? 1 John 1:8. They denied they sinned. He knows better. He knows we sin. Don't try to hide it from him. Acknowledge. Okay, God, I sinned. I blew it. I'm no good. No, don't add that. Don't add that. I sinned. I failed. He already knows it. People, what happens when you suppress these things? One day they're going to come up. They're going to explode in a horrible way. That generally leads to suicide, all kinds of horrible things that people do. Don't suppress these things. Don't share them with others. You don't want them to know. But talk to God about them, people. I don't know where that horrible thought came from. I don't know where I got the idea of murder. Maybe I watched too much Snap on TV. Maybe I watched too many movies. But I never thought of me as one. Where did that thought come from? If I could just put my hands around his neck, that'd be over. See? Where did that come from? It came from our flesh nature. It's what makes us who and what we are. So it's amazing how we so quickly go to God with our physical difficulties. Help my broken arm, help my cancer, help this, help that. But people, we don't go with him with these inner anxieties, these inner things going on inside of us. And he already knows everything that's inside of you. That's what's wonderful. You know what real love is? When somebody knows what a rascal you are and still loves you. That's whom you ought to marry. If I'm speaking to young people, that's who you want to marry. You don't want to have to hide things. That's the wonder of a mother who truly loves. There's nobody knows us better than our mother. She knows how horrible we are. She knows. She's cleaned our diapers. She's done this. She's done that. She's seen everything. And she still loves. She still loves. People, God already knows everything. He knows about your flesh nature. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful. It's continually being corrupted. All the five things that we studied about our flesh nature, and He still loves you. He still cares for you. He still provides for you. This is the wonder of God's love. So, don't ever be afraid to go with Him. Help what's going on inside of me. Help the broken heart. Help the discouragement, the fears, the worries, all of these things. I put them before you. You already know them. Now we're talking about them. And I can't turn to anyone else but you, Father. This is between you and me, Father. And you know one thing about God? He doesn't go and tell everybody else. He doesn't do that. I love the story of the three preachers out on a boat. And they're just fishing. And they just decide, you know, we don't have anybody else we can talk with in our congregation, all these things. And I just want to tell you guys that I drink. I mean, it's hidden. I hide it. Once in a while, my wife finds a bottle, but I hide it. Nobody knows in the church I drink. And the other guy said, well, if we're being honest, said, I just got to tell you, I smoke. And I got to go in the garage. I got to hide. And nobody knows that I smoke. And they both looked at the third preacher. What about you? He said, well, I got to tell you what mine is. Mine is, I love to gossip, and I can't wait to get out of this boat and tell everybody things that I've learned today. So you want to be careful. You want to be careful. God doesn't tell anyone, people. And He already knows the things hidden. Now, accept the Spirit which is in Him. This is a reference to the person Himself. It does not refer to the human spirit that we receive at salvation. It refers to that spirit. We talk about a team's football spirit. We even say an animal has a kind of spirit. A person has a kind of spirit. Has a kind spirit. A cowardice spirit. A brave spirit. This is what we're talking about in this passage. So here's we're dealing. Then it says, even the same way, or even so, the thoughts of God. And this is where we will resume next Sunday morning and continue through this wonderful study of God the Holy Spirit and His ministry to each of us. We are so dependent on God the Holy Spirit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, wow, getting kind of personal here, God. Getting down to where I am, who I am, what I am inside. And in the midst of this, You're telling me You still love me. And You've given to us hope. You've given to us Your Spirit who knows You. And all of a sudden, Heavenly Father, if we go through this journey together correctly, we'll learn that it's not about us. It's not about knowing who I am, what I am. It's about knowing You. Your plan. All that You have prepared for us. That's what it's about. So, Father, I pray You'll take these things and, first of all, let these things just start us, stop thinking about ourselves. And then, Heavenly Father, start thinking about You. Your plan, Your grace, Your love, Your mercy, the things You've given to us, the things You have prepared for us in eternity past, for us now and in eternity future. Father, I pray all these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.